Thank you so much, Shandy. I'm very grateful to be here. Hello, everybody. My name is Alex. I am a compulsive overeater, binger, restrictor, bulimic, and chronic enough is never enough addict. I'm very happy to be here and share my story as it's been so far. So a little bit about me. I'm definitely on the younger side. I'm lucky by the grace of higher power to have been abstinent and sober for over 70 days now. From the time I was born up until I started seeking recovery, it seems like the concept of my body, my image, and what I was putting into it was a constant obsession, quite literally from the moment I was born. I was 3 months premature. 2 pounds, 3 ounces. Right away, my weight was a topic of conversation. And right away, the stuff coming into my body was a pretty big topic of conversation. As time went on, as I grew up as a kid, for whatever reason, I always point this out. The other day, I was in a park. I saw a mother and her children, and the children were playing, having a good time, playing soccer, enjoying themselves. And the mother had a certain food there for her kids that was from a restaurant. That particular food happens to be a food that for my recovery, I do not have. I call that my alcoholic food. And I do not have that. That is one of my alcoholic foods. I walked by this situation and I saw the kid playing and I saw the mother and she said, come, come, come. It's time for you to eat. You need to eat something. And I saw the little boy run up to his mom. She ran up right in front of this item and stood in front of it, this food. And he said, no, mom, I want to go play. Let me play. And she went, okay, fine, go play. And he went and played. And as a food addict, I'm thinking to myself, are you nuts? That food can give you more pleasure, serenity, and contentment than any playing in the field can give you. What's the matter with you? And that situation is a very clear example to me of how I was born in my particular case. I was born with the illness and with this disease, and I was never and will never be the little boy that can run up and be faced with the idea of having certain foods and certain amounts of certain foods with the ability to say no on my own self-will. I will never be the person that can say no to certain foods and certain amounts of certain foods just on my own self-will. And that has taken time for me to discover, but lo and behold, whenever I have been faced with that reality on my own self-will, I have lost that battle until I found this program. Now, as I'm sure many of you can relate, the consequences of having an addiction, the consequences of having food addiction extend way beyond just the mental insanity that we all face, as if that wasn't hard enough. But unfortunately, the consequences of this disease start to represent themselves externally in many ways as well. So I gained extensive amounts of weight. I was consistently heavy from the time I was a little boy all the way up until recently. And that started to shape the way I felt I was perceived by the world. The way the world saw me caused me to feel like I was undesirable. I wasn't good enough because of my weight. I thought I didn't look very good. I thought I was missing an important ability that everybody else just seemed to have. I was missing the ability to just eat normal amounts and have that, you know, flat body that would make me desirable and make me worth it to other people. I couldn't cope with the pain of feeling rejected by the world, and I couldn't cope with the reality that I was seen in a way that alienated me. So how did I cope with the feeling? The only way I knew how. The way I coped with that feeling and that discomfort was by turning to the very thing that led me to that situation, because it was the only thing I knew. I turned to the food. I was uncomfortable because of how I was perceived by the effect the food had on me. So I turned to the food for that very same effect and thus the cycle.
15 minutes.
Thank you, 15. And thus the cycle continued over and over and over and over. So what led me to stop, not stop, but what led me to start to realize that I had a disease? Well, they say it takes what it takes. And for me, it took what it took. I'm an actor. A little bit about me. I am an actor. I'm a performer and I'm a writer. That's the world I come from. So in addition to having this chronic insanity and complete asinine, unsustainable reality towards how I am perceived, I had the added burden of being in a profession that by nature is about perception. Try taking a headshot and marketing yourself as an actor when you feel you're overweight. Try being told by a manager, well, we can't send you out for the good looking roles or the leading roles because you're too heavy. My God, that became reinforced over and over and over. To add to that, part of my skill set as an actor is I'm very comically based, which I strongly suspect came from the reality that if I was going to be perceived negatively by the world and I was going to be seen a certain way because of my weight, well, the only thing I can do is take control of that at the very least. If I can make a joke out of myself before you have an opportunity to, that's what I'm going to do. So I became the class clown. I became the guy that did funny things and made fun of myself. Yeah, it's okay to laugh because I don't take myself that seriously. But the reality is I was desperate for somebody to take me seriously. But I would rather take control over my humiliation because of my disease than allow somebody else to humiliate me. It's a lot easier to say, you can laugh, I want you to, than to say, no, I want to be seen as a desirable, equal valued person, and you're laughing at me. So this disease snowballed itself and started to cater towards a dishonest characterization of who I am. I started to lie to myself and distort my perception of who I am because of the disease. And in doing that, that perpetuated my shame because I was rejecting who I really was. And how did I cope with that shame? The only way I knew how, I turned to the food. So once again, I have to go back to the reality of what I just said. It takes what it takes. And I was confronted with several insane situations that started to awaken me to the reality that I have this disease. The first major one being is I lost a friend, a close one, to bulimia, this disease, specifically bulimia. She died at 28 years old. And I went to that funeral. And I saw how it devastated her family. I heard the stories of the agony she was in because of this disease. I saw how devastating this illness can be, not just on the person, but the aftermath of what this family now had to deal with from losing their daughter of 28, or sister of 28, or a young woman in their family. And I saw laid out in this wake all the artwork that she did. She was an amazing artist. She was an actor too. That's how I met her. But she was also a visual artist. And I saw laid out right in that funeral all the God-given blessings that were taken from us way too soon because of this disease. That started to awaken me to the reality of how serious this disease is. But still, I was not willing to accept for myself that I had this. My ego was too strong because after all, I didn't understand or comprehend a life worth living that didn't involve this disease. I didn't even know what that looked like. So I had to defend and protect this disease at all costs. And that's exactly what I did. So I told myself, now I don't have it that bad. Yeah, I relate to her, but it's just because I'm an actor. I'm good at connecting and relating to people. I don't really have this disease. In the face of the reality of what this disease was, I was still denying it. I ended up producing a film about eating disorders and disordered eating. I produced, wrote it, and starred in it. Produced a film about it, telling myself and the people I worked with. I'm making this because I lost a friend because of, thank you, 10. I'm making this because I lost a friend to this disease, and I'm going to fight to allow people to be aware by, through the making of this film. How asinine is it that I was lying to the number one person that needed treatment from the disease? Myself. The person that needed to see the film more than anybody on earth was me, and I was making it and still unwilling to see its message. Think about the insanity of that. That's what this disease will do to you. It'll make you lie to yourself and lie to others in ways that if it were manifested physically, no acrobat on earth could even touch the nuances and contortion that it would take to lie to yourself on that level. And yet I still did it. The lengths I went to hide my illness was paramount. It was ways I could never even imagine. And not only that, as I know many of you have experienced, not only was I denying the disease in myself, but that's the very thing that makes the disease worse and fuels it. This disease is progressive. Make no mistake about it. It wants you. It wants blood. It not only wants you dead, but it wants you to suffer all the while towards it. And it wanted me for sure. So my disease progressed. It started where I was overweight and just a binger, but then I started experimenting with bulimia and restriction. And what happened? Well, okay, cool. I was able to lose weight and present an image that at least looked good or whatever that may be. And I thought I had victory over it, but I didn't. People started rewarding me. You look great, Alex. My God, what's your secret? I don't know. In the back of my head, the secret is I'm dying from a disease, but I wouldn't tell people that. I would say, you know, it's just whatever that would make me sound cool and appeal to my ego. But the lie was so deep that even though maybe I achieved some kind of cosmetic achievement by being in my illness, at what cost? Because I didn't know who I was anymore, because my life was defined. And my value was defined by my control of food, by my control of either eating excessive amounts or not eating excessive amounts and everything in between. That became my only obsession. So what life is worth living where that's the thing on my mind? And that's the trick of it too. I learned that in order for this disease to keep you in the disease, it'll send you little rewards maybe, or little false promises that maybe it's worth furthering on the way you have been, because the disease is desperate. It needs to keep you with it. So it took me a long time still to learn that I had this disease, because sure enough, I gained the weight back, lost it again, gained the weight back, lost it again. My bulimia got worse, and worse and worse and worse. And to any newcomer listening to this, or anybody that's struggling with knowing if, you know, do I need this or do I need this kind of treatment? You know, is OA the place for me? The answer is, I don't know. That's for you to answer. But I will say this. Though I had many rock bottom moments, I didn't have like that low, low moment that I could point to one event that it was like, this is it. You know, I need to recover. It took a lot of repeated suffering meant by maybe a brief period of recovery and then relapse with repeated suffering. And the only thing I know how to say with clear certainty that got me to come to this room, these rooms, and stay in these rooms as long as I have, was the fact that my brain and my heart and my spirit and my higher power for the first time were able to say in synchronicity, enough is enough. F this. Enough is enough. One of my favorite movies is Flight with Denzel Washington. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's an amazing, amazing film. Denzel Washington plays an alcoholic who is an airline pilot. who happens to be piloting during a plane crash. And the film is a thank you five. And the film is about him coming to terms with his alcoholism because they launched an investigation towards why did the plane crash, XYZ. Anyway, without getting into the details of the film, he ends up one of his big epiphanies is he comes to terms with the fact he finally says, I'm an alcoholic, and he admits it. And one of the things that character says in that film is that it explains what is the thing that made him admit he was an alcoholic. He says this, he says, well, it was as if I had reached my lifelong limit of lies. I could not tell one more lie. I could not tell one more lie. And that resonates with me so much because that's the point I got to. I just couldn't do it anymore. I would rather take a road that was uncertain than a road that I was familiar with, but was taking me towards suffering with glimmers of potential half okay moments sometimes, but it wasn't a road that was sustainable. And I really had to make a choice. I'm like, you know, what's the reality here with this? Well, the reality was I was either going to suffer for a very long time and have a quality of life half the size of a shoe fly, or I was going to die or something in between. But I was not going to have a life worth living. And I especially was not going to have a life that would take me to a place of sanity. So I came to the program. And it's amazing, though, I did outreach. When I made that decision, not resolve, or I didn't say, oh, maybe I'll do a diet. When I actually purely made the decision to fight this disease and see it as such, step one, I am powerless over my food. When I truly made that decision, the floodgates opened and higher power sent me things with such ease. Within an hour and a half, I had a sponsor. A day later, I was on a food plan that restored me to a semblance of balance. Within a week, I was in meetings every day, and I was lucky enough to have a sponsor that was very doesn't let you off the hook so easily, and he kept me working, and I was able to get through the steps, and now I'm sponsoring myself. The gifts that have been afforded to me by this program, and I know I'm only on the tip of the iceberg, and even so, the gifts that have been afforded to me from this program are unmatched to any potential illusions of pleasure or comfort that came to me from the food. What I'll leave you with this in the last 2 minutes I have is many of us struggle with this. And I find that whenever I'm struggling with my spiritual wellness and my faith in the program, it comes down to step two, higher power, as we understand them. I'm not a very particularly religious person. And my relationship with God was rocky in the beginning. I don't have time to go into details with that. However, I started by behaving as if I had a higher power. And in time, I now do have a higher power as I understand him. For anyone struggling with what your conception of a higher power is, because I know there's a lot of connotations and a lot of experiences some of us may have had that maybe create a disconnect with us in our recovery. My higher power, I gave my higher power a name. My higher power's name is Atibam. Atibam. A-T-I-B-M. That stands for all that is beyond me. And as long as I invest in that, and as long as I invest in my fellowship, and the understanding that I can only control up to the tips of my fingers, and anything beyond that is not in my control, I have touched on an energy that is limitless, bountiful, and a source of the complete serenity that I never thought possible. It's something that I wish for everybody in this room and everybody in this world. Everybody on this earth has the right to look themselves in the mirror and say, I'm good with myself. You all have that right, and I will fight the rest of my life for you all to have it. Thank you for having me.